AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Still no arrests in Alabama, where at least four people died at a Sweet 16 party this weekend. CBS's Omar Villafranca is there.
Among the dead, Phil Dowdell. A star athlete, Dowdell was just weeks from graduation and recently committed to play football at Jacksonville State next year.
I was standing right beside him.
Daquan Daw says he was with Dowdell at the party, but the two ran in opposite directions when gunshots rang out.
I wish I could have pulled him out.
Also killed, 23-year-old Corbin Holston, 19-year-old Marcia Collins, and 17-year-old Shankivia Nicole Smith.
28 others were injured. In Kansas City, a 16-year-old is fighting for his life after getting shot for ringing the wrong doorbell. His family says he was trying to pick up his siblings a block away when the homeowner shot him. A GoFundMe for the teen has raised more than $1.8 million. Eight police officers will dodge charges over the shooting death of a black driver in Ohio. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
25-year-old Jalen Walker was killed after refusing to pull his car over. He led police on a chase during which authorities say he fired at least one shot. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost.
The law allows officers to use deadly force to defend themselves.
A handgun was found inside his car.
More thunderstorms in South Florida caused a ground stop at the airport in Fort Lauderdale today for a few hours. The area is still struggling to dry out from record rains and historic flooding last week. The Justice Department says two men have been arrested for operating a secret police station in New York City. U.S. Attorney Breon Peace says they were members of China's Ministry of Public Security and were harassing local political opponents.
The MPS has repeatedly and flagrantly violated our nation's sovereignty, including by opening and operating a police station in the middle of New York City.
A controversial Republican congressman says he's running for his seat again.
Congressman George Santos told a New York Post photographer this on a D.C. street.
It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C. It's a great day to be an American. It's a great day to be here a Republican. And it's a great day to announce re-election.
He also announced on Twitter, writing, as a first-generation American, I am no stranger to the issues affecting my district.
That's CBS's Matt Piper reporting. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell and Pennsylvania Democrat John Fetterman are back at work today at the U.S. Capitol. McConnell was out getting treatment for a concussion after a bad fall last month.
You're recognized.
It's good to be back.
Fetterman was in the hospital for clinical depression. It comes nearly a year after his stroke. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Watts, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Life in prison without parole for Mark Jensen of Pleasant Prairie. The 63-year-old was convicted for the second time of killing his wife Julie by poisoning her with antifreeze and suffocation in 1998. Jensen's attorneys maintain that Julie Jensen was depressed and killed herself in order to frame her husband. Jensen was first convicted in 2008, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled in 2021 that he deserved a new trial. Wisconsin voters only approving about half of statewide school referendums on the April ballot. In last year's spring and fall elections, voters okayed 80%. This spring's election saw the lowest passage rate for school district referendums in over a decade. This year's total dollar amount is $650 million compared to just over $1.7 billion that was approved in 2020. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson & Watts, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Watts, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Kroot.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. We are here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here every Monday night at 7. It is a sort of cold spring night, but we have some exciting conversation come up. I'm honored to have State Representative Greta Neubauer with us, the current Democratic leader in the Assembly, so the minority leader, to talk about, you know, what's happening in Wisconsin, democracy in Wisconsin, and what's happening in Madison. So welcome, Greta. Hi.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here with you, Mark.
So, you know, I want to get into, we had a huge election on April 4th with a new Supreme Court justice. But before we get into that and the sort of its implications, before April 4, where were we at in Madison? You know, I know we're sort of in this world, gerrymandered world, where even though Dems win statewide offices, they have virtual no authority in Madison, and really have sort of a hard spot to be in. You're the minority leader. You're young. You know, the future is yours. So where are we at before this election?
Yeah, great question. So we started this legislative session in January, I would say really with three goals as the Assembly Democratic Caucus. The first was, as now the only body in the legislature that is able to protect against veto overrides, the Senate unfortunately did fall into a superminority. We know that one of our top goals has to be protecting Governor Evers' vetoes and making sure that our state is now moving backwards. We are, of course, thrilled that Governor Evers won another term in November and that we were able to just narrowly, by two members in the Assembly, hold off a Republican supermajority in our body as well. So that's a big focus for us. It means we are all going to be spending a lot of time in Madison once those vetoes are available to be overridden, but we know that that is a huge part of our role, because we know that a lot of the bad policies Republicans have introduced over the last few years are likely to come back. We've already seen the proposal to put more guns into schools, right? We've seen a flat tax proposal, which would really exacerbate inequities in Wisconsin when it comes to our tax structure. So a whole lot of bad ideas that we know we may need to be here to prevent from becoming law. Then I would say the second piece of our goal is to try to find bipartisan compromise and opportunities to move policy forward wherever we can. And that's because we know that that's what the people of Wisconsin want from their elected officials. And for our democracy to be successful, we need to demonstrate that government can be a force for good in our state and that it matters when people engage in that process. So it's been really difficult, I'll be honest with you, to get substantive bipartisan policy passed last legislative session. Only 2% of bills proposed by Democrats even got a hearing in the Assembly, while 76% of bills proposed by Republicans got a hearing in the Assembly. So the bipartisanship is a struggle, right? But our members have always shown up, tried to engage as much as possible in those conversations, and that continues to be the case because we simply just cannot wait to get this policy done for the people of Wisconsin. Well, I'm sure we'll get into some of those specific issues, you know, in this hour. And then third, of course, we are going to continue fighting for that long-term vision. You know, we know we're not going to be able to get done everything we want to get done this session. And so we are going to continue putting forward the policies that we believe will really improve people's quality of life in Wisconsin, give everyone the ability to thrive, and continue fighting, of course, for fair maps through the legislature and through the courts to hopefully have an opportunity for the will of the people to really be reflected in this Capitol building. You know, when you're seeing no action on gun safety or, you know, very minimal increases to local government funding or investments in our public schools, protections for the environment, right? Expanding Badger Care in Wisconsin. These are all widely popular, you know, policy areas that people of Wisconsin, regardless of their party, agree on. But somehow that's just not translating to the Capitol. So we're hoping that moving forward, we'll have more opportunities for this building to really reflect the will of the people and policy that is broadly supported.
You know, you mentioned the flat tax proposal. So where is Governor Evers on his proposal on the budget? And what is this, the flat tax proposal that we're hearing? And frankly, you know, I'm considerably older, and I remember a time in America where the wealthy were taxed up, you know, I think as high as 90% plus, and they were still the wealthiest people in America. But we had a middle class then, much larger than we do now. How is that playing out in the Capitol now?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And there's actually a bit of a new development today on this. So we, of course, are in the middle of budget season. The Joint Finance Committee has been traveling around the state, taking public testimony. Some of you who are listening may have attended those listening sessions and shared your perspective. There are more opportunities to do that over the remainder of this month. Would encourage folks to submit their comments and reach out to their legislators and all those good things. So we don't know exactly what Republicans' proposal is going to be in the state budget, but earlier this year, they rolled out a flat tax proposal, which would put everybody at about 5%. And there have been a couple different iterations of this that we've seen, but one of those iterations would give 80% of the benefit, so the money saved due to this cut, to the top 20% of earners, which just doesn't really make sense to anyone except for the top 20% of earners, right? And frankly, I think after this proposal went out and the public sort of wrapped their heads around it, Republicans, many of them started to back down a little bit, right? We saw other members of the legislature, Republican members, saying it's probably not going to happen right now. Flat tax is probably not going to move forward. Today, we actually saw another bill introduced that in the co-sponsorship memo said this is not a flat tax, but really is a flat tax. It is, I believe it was a 4.5% tax for everyone, except for kind of the really lowest earners who had a 0% tax rate. So, you know, we're continuing to see plans come forward from Republican legislators that are just really not recognizing that some people in Wisconsin are struggling to make ends meet and some people are not struggling to make ends meet. And of course, a flat tax or other proposal like it would mean that it's really hard for us to fund essential services in Wisconsin going forward, right? Create a really significant structural deficit. So Governor Evers' plan that was proposed in his budget gives a 10% cut to earners up to $150,000, earners who make up to $150,000. This is, I would say, a tax cut that is really targeting the middle class, right? If you make over $150,000, you are probably not sitting there on Sunday night wondering, am I going to be able to pay for the food on my kids' table this week, right? But that is the reality for some families in Wisconsin. And so I'm hopeful that we will be able to move something forward that is really targeting working families, middle-class families who actually need that tax cut in the coming years.
You know, you mentioned the joint finance have been traveling around the state talking about the budget. What are people hearing, especially from, you know, rural communities on this notion of a flat tax? Because it seems to me that there's a lot of poverty out in the countryside that isn't talked about. You know, right. My mom used to live up in Washira County, and I still have a place up there. And it's a place that hasn't voted blue since Obama in 08, but I haven't seen any Republicans deliver any infrastructure, any money to that county, you know, with their plan. So what are you hearing as you go around?
Yeah, so I should clarify. I went to the one in Waukesha because it was in my region. I wasn't in all of the hearings. I'm not on the finance committee. I was last session. Right. But, you know, I think the general themes are really the same in all parts of the state, right? We know that Wisconsin is going to have significant demographic challenges when it comes to our workforce in the years ahead, and those are starting to hit right now. I know that they have heard a lot about caregiving. Right? Challenges with finding folks for the workforce and keeping people in the workforce because their salaries are so low. I know we've heard about access to childcare in many communities where, you know, I know in Racine we have a difficult time making sure that people have access to affordable childcare. If you're in a community that has one provider and they close, you are in huge trouble, right? And that is happening around Wisconsin and will happen to a much greater extent if we don't extend the childcare counts program in this budget. We're hearing about education. Every one of these sessions, we hear from administrators at local districts who say that they are having a really hard time meeting expectations because the state is not really keeping its commitment to our schools. And then, of course, local government. We all know that there's a big problem with the shared revenue formula in that it has not been added to for many years. And so local governments have been cutting and have really reached a breaking point. So, you know, of course, some differences in different parts of the state, but in many ways, common themes. And, you know, what I'll say in regard to the flat tax there is that what people want is targeted investment in things that will improve their quality of life, right? They don't want a tax cut for the wealthiest people in Wisconsin. A caregiver tax credit? Great, right? Support for childcare? Fantastic. Or training for local workers? Awesome, right? But that's not what Republicans are really offering right now.
Well, thank you. Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with State Rep. Greta Neubauer. We're talking about democracy. And it's, you know, are we alive and well in this state of Wisconsin? Are we moving forward or are we moving backward? And we are going to be back on the other side of the break to talk more in detail about what are the implications from the last election and how that's going to impact the politics of the state. So come on back and join us.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
Maxing Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies tonight with a chance of scattered snow showers. Lows level off around 28. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 51 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. Lows level off around 35 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Low 50s Wednesday. Mid 60s by Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here in Waukesha every Monday night at 7. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. And I am delighted to have with us this evening the minority leader, State Representative Greta Neubauer, talking about democracy in Wisconsin and the future, and not just democracy, folks, whether we're actually going to make Wisconsin a state that people want to move to, raise their kids, have young people come in and make this state really run. So, Greta, we just had this huge election on April 4th, and we have a new Supreme Court justice, just Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She'll be taking the bench, I believe, August 1st. And it creates new opportunities. And, I think given the numbers, you know, she won by 10 points in a purple state, which is very, very significant. So obviously people were looking for a change. How do you see that election impact the dynamics that we were just talking about in Madison, you know, this sort of Republican domination with very little flexibility or not listening to Democrats? I mean, you mentioned 2% of bills were even given a hearing, right? So, I mean, all of us that vote blue send people to Madison and they can't even get their bills heard on the floor. So you think there's going to be a change?
It is a very good and very big question. I guess I'll start by saying that, you know, it was a really decisive victory. You do not see that kind of margin in Wisconsin every day. Frankly, Tony Evers winning by 3 points, it really was a Wisconsin landslide, right? And so this was just absolutely a blowout. And it makes really clear, right, that the issues that were top of mind for voters in this election, abortion, of course, being one of them, democracy, are things that people in Wisconsin really care about. And they are not going to stop showing up to the polls, right? And they are not going to stop engaging until they feel like our laws represent their views. So, you know, what I'm excited about is that for the first time in 15 years, I think we have a court that is really going to fairly consider the cases in front of them, look at the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin and decide their cases on that basis, right? Rather than just sort of knee-jerk partisan reactions. You know this, I know this, but the fact that we came one vote away on the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin from an attempt to overturn the 2020 election is and will always be shocking. And it shows just how far right the court had moved when we did not come that close in other states in the U.S. to overturning those election results. So I'm excited about that possibility. You know, I think for those of us who were worried that if Dan Kelly, who advised the 2020 fake electors, was on this court, right, that he would be susceptible to potentially, ignoring the popular vote in future elections as well. I have full confidence that regardless of who wins the election in 2024, Judge Janet will honor those election results, right? So sort of on to the assembly and what goes on in the legislature, I do think that it will change things just from the get-go, because the reality is that Republicans have just counted on the court to uphold everything that they have done over the past many years, right? That is a wide span of things. Of course, abortion's included in that, the most extreme gerrymander probably in the entire country, and all sorts of other changes to our democracy and the rules of how things work in Madison. So my hope is that we'll have some opportunities to challenge the unconstitutional gerrymander, the unconstitutional abortion ban, but also that it will just mean that Republicans in Madison recognize that the ways in which they have rigged the rules in their favor might not be in place forever, and that they will actually have to pass popular policy that will help them get elected when the rules are fair, right? Whether that's allowing ballot drop boxes or, all sorts of other questions that could come in front of the court. So, I'm not a lawyer. I'll leave that to you, right? But my general feeling is that we have a fair court. And a fair court means that it will benefit the people of Wisconsin, and the policies that the people of Wisconsin believe in will have a better shot of becoming law.
The the current leader in the assembly is Speaker Voss. I haven't heard much from him since the election. Is there any change in attitude from the speaker after the, or is it just too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. In some ways, it feels like it's been a lifetime since April 4th, but it's really only been about 2 weeks. And so I think, we'll see throughout this budget process, we'll see throughout the remainder of this legislative session. It's very clear from sort of media about what's going on internally at the Republican Party that they recognize they have a problem, right? That they recognize that Tim Michels' loss and Dan Kelly's loss were huge blows for them. And it's going to be, again, a real threat to the ways in which they have rigged the rules. So we will see. We will see.
Before we go off to the break, I have to say one thing about Kelly. His speech, so-called concession speech, had to be the biggest loser speech I've ever heard. So on the other side, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about the biggest loser speech. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The white man who police say shot a black teenager who went to the wrong Kansas City, Missouri home to pick up his siblings is charged with two felony counts, assault in the first degree and armed criminal action. Clay County Prosecutor Zachary Thompson.
As a result of these charges, a warrant was issued for Mr. Lester's arrest and bond was set at $200,000.
Thompson says there was a racial component to the case. Four people are dead and 32 injured in a shooting at a Dadeville, Alabama birthday party. No arrests reported. Governor Kay Ivey.
This is a horrific shooting, and it just could not have happened. Public safety is our top priority. Right now, our number one priority is supporting law enforcement in their efforts to bring justice.
Eight police officers won't be charged in the shooting death of Jaylen Walker after a chase, Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost.
The grand jury concluded that the officers were legally justified in their use of force.
Yost says Walker fired shots at police officers. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The wildfires in Wisconsin are out. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says crews put out the biggest of them, the Arcadia Fire, on Saturday. It burned more than 3,000 acres, closed roads, and forced people out of their homes for 3 days. No one was hurt. Now comes damage assessment. A Republican bill would stop communities in Wisconsin from using public money for local guaranteed income programs. They're different from other government subsidies since they're not restricted to things like rent or food. Right now, Madison is the only city in Wisconsin with a guaranteed income program. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is day-to-day after he bruised his back in last night's playoff loss to Miami. The Brewers open a three-game series at Seattle tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is your Paul Revere Show every Monday night, 7 o'clock, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. Tonight, I am privileged and honored to have with us State Representative Greta Neubauer, the minority leader, and we're talking about the implications of the new Supreme Court justice on the politics in Madison and whether we're going to make steps to break the gridlock that has really been tying up our state from moving forward. And before the break, we're talking a little bit about Kelly and his failure to concede with any kind of class. You know, it seemed to me And I just wanted to know what you've heard, Greta. Seemed to me that it is like a low point in Wisconsin politics. You know, I've never seen it. You know, I moved here in 84. My parents were born. Well, my mom was born here. My dad grew up in Poissippi. But Wisconsin always had this reputation of, you know, if you lost, you lost with respect. You were a good, you know, right, good loser. And we try to teach our kids, right, how to be, you know, a good loser and a good winner. His unwillingness to recognize that he just got shellacked, right? I mean, completely rejected by the people. It would seem to me that he would have something positive to say or about the person that just completely pummeled him. I mean, ended his, frankly, I think ended his political career and ambitions. I don't think the Republicans will ever put him up again as a candidate for any judge. But what are you hearing in Madison from sort of the politicos? I mean,
yeah, I mean, certainly agreement with you that, you know, I'm sure there have been other sore losers, but that was pretty pretty outside the norm, right? I think often people will say,
I think you're being really kind.
Yeah. Well,
you're right. We shouldn't talk bad about people.
I do my best. I do think, though, to your point, right? I knocked on a lot of doors this cycle. Colleagues, assembly members, fellow Democrats in the assembly knocked on a lot of doors, you know, with our former candidates and folks helping out. We reached almost 30,000. And what I heard a lot on the doors was people saying, I just don't want to see the ads anymore. I just don't want to be involved. Like, I know that this stuff is, you know, I don't want my kids to see this. Just a lot of frustration generally with, you know, politics and the political process. And that's a conversation we could spend all day on. But I do think that his concession speech was a prime example of why people are frustrated with politics, right? Because he just behaved badly, right? And he behaved badly through the whole campaign because he didn't want to talk about abortion because he knew that the majority of people in Wisconsin did not agree with him, right? And he didn't want to talk about democracy because he knew he was on the wrong side of that. Didn't want to talk about his record, right? And so I think he just instead said, you know, all these unkind things about Janet and her character. And then he just continued right on doing that in his concession speech. And you know, it does say a lot about a person, how you lose, right? It does.
It does. It says everything, you know. And I sort of want to lead that into the issue that you hit on, right? We have a law, 1849 abortion ban in place at a time women couldn't vote. And, you know, we have, you know, a significant number of members of the Republican Party that have not come out and rejected that position. The fact that Kelly lost by 10 points, just got trounced, primarily on the issue of abortion, fair maps, but also, and I think young people too. How do you see that energy coming to the equation in terms of possibilities going forward?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think people really did have the abortion issue top of mind because they know that there is literally a case, you know, brought forward by Josh Call that is moving through the courts at this very moment, right? So it felt very relevant to this election. And, you know, hopefully we see good progress with that case. You know, on the young people piece, it really was amazing to see the turnout of young people on campuses, you know, in cities in the all across the state of Wisconsin. And in the sort of let's say analysis that I've seen online from Republicans since the election, right? There's a lot of concern. Scott Walker, right? Very concerned about the way young people are voting. And I've seen some analysis from nationwide trends, right? That I think the narrative historically has been as people get older, they get more conservative. But we're not necessarily seeing that trend with my generation, right? And with people who are maybe not 18, but are still maybe holding on to that student debt, having a hard time buying a house, worried about their future, would like their kids to not be doing lockdown drills in schools, would like someone to address climate change and, you know, racial inequities. So there are very worrying trends for the Republicans that mean that they're going to have to ask themselves some really serious questions about whether they're going to be able to win in places like Wisconsin when we see more young people voting for Democratic candidates and holding on to those beliefs longer than maybe some of their predecessors, you know, in previous generations did. So hopefully that means that we see some movement from the other side on these issues and some willingness to work with us to address the really big challenges that Wisconsin faces. But, you know, remains to be seen whether they'll do that or they'll just try to keep rigging the rules to insulate themselves from public opinion.
You know, the I think, you know, you look at expectations, you know, and I think one thing I've learned over time is politics and the law changes much, much slower than often people wish it would or could. And so I think there's going to be this enthusiasm that we have a new justice, but that not we might not necessarily see real changes on decisions for a while, right? Later this year, certainly. How do you build in and address, you know, the public with that kind of anticipated, they expect changes quickly and you may not be able to deliver, right?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it is certainly important that folks understand that we have been working for many years to dig ourselves out of a hole, right? And we are moving in a good direction in the state of Wisconsin, but things don't turn around overnight. When you have these kind of legislative maps and the rules that Republicans have put in place to benefit themselves. I do think that, you know, people in Wisconsin are following that. And I think that people know that change does take time. And, you know, and we're all just going to have to kind of keep digging in and doing the work. And for us, what that looks like as assembly members is continuing to just have that kind of direct communication. You know, you referenced, how do we reach folks in some parts of Wisconsin where we don't have representatives, right? Or we haven't had Democratic reps or senators for many years. And that is really hard, right? In my community, I'm there. I'm going to local meetings. I'm talking to people on their doors. I'm calling them when they call my office, right? I can talk to them about the policies we're advocating for, even if they're not getting passed, you know, always or much of the time. But if you don't have that local representation, it's really hard for people to hear that perspective. And their legislator might come home and tell them, you know, I'm digging in on the culture wars, and that might be enough, right? Even though that representative is not advocating for their small business or their farm or broadband or, you know, childcare or K-12 funding. So hopefully we'll just be able to continue reaching folks, because when we do, we know that our message works. We know that people resonate, but we also know that sometimes they're being misled and, you know, given misinformation online or otherwise, that makes it hard sometimes to see the forest through the trees.
The, you know, you mentioned culture wars, and I think it's, you know, we have sort of a culture war, not only just culture war, but a civil rights battle going on in Tennessee. And there are a lot of young people that are watching, and we have, right, Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin Pearson actually got thrown out of the Tennessee House rep right? I mean, that's your house, the people's house.
Yeah.
How do you see that whole issue in Wisconsin? You know, and how are, you know, how are folks in Wisconsin addressing that issue? I mean, because they've just, all of a sudden we have this Tennessee on the front page, nationally, not just in Nashville.
Yeah, well, we certainly feel solidarity, you know, for our fellow representatives down there, the Justins. We know what it is like to have Republicans go to extreme lengths to try to silence people who are fighting for their rights or the rights of others. And I think this was certainly one in a series of wake-up calls for us about the lengths that, that Republicans will be willing to go. And frankly, I think they, you know, not only because of what is right and the fact that those folks were elected by their constituents, but also because of the movement that they have started in response to them being ejected from the legislature, there's going to be a huge backlash, right? I just think that people are not going to stand for legislators deciding that they get to kick a member of the legislature out because they don't like how they exercise their free speech rights and override all of their constituents who voted for them. So, you know, just like we saw in this election in Wisconsin, people care more about democracy than I think some maybe pundits would like to believe, right? Of course, we know that people are focused on the issues that impact them every single day, what's on their table, the schools their kids go to, their job, right? But we also know that people are paying attention to issues of democracy. And I think what's happened in Tennessee is going to energize people nationwide. And it is shining a light on the continuing racism that we see in this country, you know, not just in the South, but everywhere. And I think calls on all of us just to recognize the historic moment that we're in and the need to dig in on protecting our democracy and one another and our rights.
You know, to me, one thing that, and you mentioned it, that, you know, former Governor Walker has been out, at least on social media, about, you know, we should be concerned about young people. And I mean, he's actually gone so far as to somehow imply, he didn't really imply, he said it, that young people are like being brainwashed. And, I think he's got it backwards, right? I mean, I think what I see in Tennessee and in the state and young people getting involved is that they're hungry for history to know the truth, because only if they're truthful can they make, you know, progress? Can we really move forward? As opposed to being like, clearly all those young people in Tennessee aren't brainwashed, right? I mean, they're thinking, and they're worried about their safety, and they're worried about their safety in schools. So we're coming up on a break. We'll be right back to wrap this up with State Rep Greta Neubauer on Wisconsin moving forward. And with Greta's at the leadership, we will keep moving forward. We'll be right back with your Paul Revere Show.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
you could nominate your D-bag of the year. Got a nominee for us?
There were so many of them as we can go. I had to go with the ranked choice system. Okay.
I like the way you think, Griffin. Okay. What else you got?
Rojo.
You know, listener poll. I think this nominee for D-bag of the year pretty much sums it up.
Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also on our website, go to civicmedia.us.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 28. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs around 51. Lows around 35 tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. 51 Wednesday, with a chance for scattered storms. 66 Thursday, storms continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here every Monday night at WAUK 540 AM 101 FM from 7 to 8 to talk about democracy, or better yet, the state of democracy in this great state of Wisconsin. I'm honored and privileged to have with me State Rep. Greta Neubauer, minority leader in Madison. She's out of the 66th Assembly District, so Racine's her home, but she speaks for all of us all across the state. You know, I wanted to touch on, before I became a lawyer, I was a steelworker for almost 8 years, maybe a little more, in Indiana before my wife and I and my young daughter at the time moved to the state. There has been so much attack on working people, you know, with Act 10, the destruction of public unions, and it just driving down the standard of living. When I was young and worked at a union shop, there was a pension, there were great medical benefits, and people planned on, you know, how to retire with a pension, with enough money where they could go buy, you know, a cabin in the woods. And that was sort of like just your middle class dream that has really escaped so many people, I think. And I think some young people even can't even imagine that reality to me, but as a young, you know, 20-year-old. How does this, you know, the politics and the budget and shared revenue, how is that playing out right now? And how are we going to see money shared equally, and especially out there to the working folks? You know, I don't, whether you're Mexican, Puerto Rican, African American, white, all across the state, what's going to happen in Madison? Because I think that's really going to impact a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good questions, important questions. So, of course, the governor's budget proposal is really broad and deep, right? It covers so many different areas of policy. And, you know, I will start on the union piece, because we all are aware that over the last 10 years, Republicans have been, you know, systematically undermining the power of public and private sector unions. And that has hurt working people. You know, it is just no question it has, right? It has meant that people are not maybe able to live that dream that you said, right? Of saving a little bit and having a good retirement and being able to, you know, be in the woods or wherever they hope to be, hopefully staying in Racine too, right? But I think we know that part of that longer term vision just has to be restoring collective bargaining rights, prevailing wage, right? Getting rid of right to work like they just did in Michigan after getting the majority. And there's just no question that that has, it's essential. It helps those people who are in unions, and it helps the people who are not in unions, whose employers are competing with the people who are in unions, right? So I'm hopeful that we will be able to see some progress on that in the coming years. There's just no question that to restore the middle class in Wisconsin, that's essential. There are so many other good pieces of this budget. You know, we could spend all day talking about it, but on the shared revenue piece, you know, what I will just say is, Racine is a community that if shared revenue had kept pace, we would receive, I believe, about $21 million more dollars than we receive right now in shared revenue. We receive about $28 million currently, right? $21 million would be transformative for Racine. What we have done with our American Rescue Plan dollars is start work on a community health clinic, right? A federally qualified, hopefully someday, health clinic that serves people who did not previously really have access to healthcare. We have focused on trying to fix up homes in the community, right? So that people can have a stable place to live. There are so many good proactive things that we can do to reduce those inequities, economic, racial inequities, and really give people the opportunity to thrive if our local governments have the resources to not only fund the essential services of, you know, local public health departments and libraries and first responders, but also make those proactive investments that help people have opportunities going forward.
So looking at sort of the short-term battlefield, right, we're going to have votes coming up on the budget, on items. Where do you see the key fights coming up? And how do you see, you know, the Republicans paying attention to this recent vote? I mean, they have to be thinking this 10-point election that they just lost, you know, Kelly just got shellacked on, has a lot to do with how they take the votes. Do you see opportunities?
I mean, I hope we're all looking at, you know, the opinions of the people in our communities and the state and making votes on that basis. We'll see. You know, of course, big parts of our budget are K-12 education, shared revenue, and these many other services that the state and local governments provide. And so, you know, I, of course, really encourage folks to get involved. I think people sometimes feel like, you know, an email or a call goes into a void, but I really would encourage people to keep doing that. If you have a Democratic legislator, still reach out. It's helpful for us to hear from people who say, listen, I'm an employer and I want to hire this great person, but they can't find childcare, right? And that is helpful for me to know that so that I can share that when I'm advocating for the extension of childcare counts, right? So I would just really encourage folks to reach out. There's a portal to reach the Joint Finance Committee. You can, of course, always reach out directly to your legislators. There's some more events coming up, including a virtual listening session held by the Democratic Senate and Assembly caucuses. So keep doing that. And I would say, of course, it's always helpful to find that personal issue that really resonates with you. And as I've said, I think some of those huge buckets that are just going to impact all of us for years to come are around local government funding and education funding. And I'm really hoping that we can see some significant progress in those areas in this budget.
So we have a little less than a minute to go. Here's your 20-second chance. What do you say to young people now at this moment? What do they do?
Well, I think young people really understand how much is at stake. You know, I came into this work doing work around climate change, and we know that our futures are going to be shaped by the decisions that are being made right now. And that is clearly obvious to young people who are engaging in politics, in organizing and advocacy at incredible rates. So very
thank
excited
you,
to see your
future. Greta, thank you, listeners. Get active. Thank you all.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.